We started this on Father's Day. This was actually the second part of my Father's Day message that we never got to because, you know, God has this way of just changing our plans every now and then. So I just wanted to share this part with you. We're talking about good fathers are good sons first. And we'll pretend this is Father's Day still, but we're going to say good mothers are good daughters as well, first. And we talked a little bit about how through Christ, and you can listen to it on the podcast, through Christ, God set up that perfect, perfect, delicate balance of, he showed us how you train up a child in the ways he should go, and even in difficult times, which we all have to endure, and Jesus is our perfect example. You know, he endured a lot, yet he stayed true to what his Father showed him, what his Father taught him. So God set up that delicate balance of training and nurturing, of allowing us to go through the fires of growth and maturity, yet lovingly nourishing us and nurturing us into who we are at the same time. See, he's never left us alone to do it on our own. We were never meant to do it on our own. We're never meant to do anything apart from the heart of God. God created us for relationship with him. So in reality, everything that we are, everything we're called to do, everything we're supposed to be doing with him, not apart from him. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That's what he set up. You know, as a child, as we grow up, we want to distance ourselves from our moms and dads. And part of our immaturity is that we think we don't need them. But then in our late 20s, early 30s, we always realize how much we really do. And no matter how old we get, mom, I still need my mama. And I still need my papa. We still need them to walk with us, to celebrate the great times, and to listen to us and hear us and support us through the difficult times. We were designed that way. And the same thing with Jesus. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. We were designed to be reliant and dependent on the love of our Papa in heaven. So how do we be good sons and daughters? And I just want to share with you some, I'll call them observations, seven observations from Jesus himself. And this is taken from John 14 through 16. And, you know, our key verse here, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him because you have seen him. In other words, as a child, I reflect the heart of my dad. I reflect the image of my dad. I reflect him back to you. And that's what Jesus did. And believe it or not, every one of us, one way or another, reflects back to others what our parents are like, what our families are like. So how do we become good sons and daughters so that we reflect God the right way? Because the problem isn't in this world a lack of Christians, and the ungodly are not the problem. The problem are the godly who aren't living as sons and daughters of the living King. That's the issue. If Christians were actually walking, if sons and daughters of God were walking and living like sons and daughters of God in the family business should be, this world would look a whole lot different. So how do we do that? Well, here are some observations. Watch how dad does things. Watch how your dad does things. Well, let's look at John 5:19 and 20. And Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So Jesus said, I'm only doing what I'm seeing my dad do. As a boy, what did you do when you saw your dad doing something? Whether it's working in the garage or the yard, why do you think they have little toy lawnmowers for little boys and girls at times? Like them too. So they can be like dad. They see dad pushing the lawnmower, and some moms might push a lawnmower too, but usually it's dad. They can be like them. When mom is in the kitchen working, little girls want to get up there and start doing what they're doing, making. Can I cook too? You see what your mom and dad doing, and you do the same thing. Jesus saw the hand of his Father working. He saw what work he was doing and did it. We are to mimic Jesus. And we simply ask, Dad, Papa, Father in heaven, what are you doing right now? What can I do that you are doing? How do I come alongside you to do this with you? You know what the how you mentor somebody is? First, you do it yourself. It's a 3-4-step process. You do it yourself with them watching you. Second step, you do it with them. Third step, you watch them do it themselves. Fourth step, you trust them, and then you inspect what is being done as you go along. But you do it with them. You never abandoning it. You're always there. You looked where his hand's doing. What are you doing, Dad? What are you doing, God, that I can be a part of? That I can follow along? That I can be part of this? See, we always talk about authority. To be in authority, you have to be under authority. Okay? So the Son, Jesus, had authority. Why? He said it himself. All authority has been given to me by my Father. And then the authority that I have is because I'm under his authority. Where Jesus said, I give you the same authority that was given to me. So whatever authority I have because I'm under the authority of Jesus. To have authority, you have to be under authority. To be a leader, you have to be a follower first. It's the same principle. To lead, you have to know how to follow. You have to know what it means to be led, to be humble enough to be led, to see what is being done and let somebody who's doing it lead you in it. And then you learn how to lead others in it. But you can't lead if you don't know how to follow. This is in every aspect of life, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God. We look for what God's hand's doing. We look what the Father's doing and come alongside it. Move when he moves and stay when he stays. We stay tuned in to him. So, Dad, what are you doing? That's the thing. Watch what our Father is doing when he does things and we do what he does. Jesus himself declared it. Number two, swallow your pride. 14:16-18 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Here's the thing. People who've been scorned, people who've been hurt, people who have trust issues, people who are struggling with spiritual pain, emotional pain, have a really hard time swallowing their pride. And part of the issue is they don't recognize it as pride. If they go into self-preservation mode, but we don't equate that with pride. Pride needs to be broken so we can see what God is doing. We can't receive the Father's help till we swallow that pride. We can't do our part in what He is doing and let Him, until we do. See, He wants to be a part of what we're doing. Remember, we are relational beings. We are meant for relationship with Him. He wants to be a part of that. But when we're so caught up with ourselves, there's no room for Him. Yesterday, my wife and I watched the movie The Shack for the first time, and wow. In my opinion, it may be the best Christian film I've ever seen, quality-wise, and the testimony. But get some tissues, though. It's a tearjerker. It's powerful. But one of the most poignant lines, the person that representing God the Father says to the main character, "You haven't been able to see me because all you see is your pain. Your own pain. You've been so fixated on your pain, it's blinded you from seeing me." We can get so fixated on our self-preservation stuff that we're not able to see God saying, "Can I help you with this? Can I love you with this? Can I work with you here?" Don't let pride tell you that you don't need His help. He said, "I will give you the helper." In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to help. He wants to be a part of my life. He wants to work in me and heal me from within. He wants to work in me and strengthen me to do what I'm meant to do. Use Him. Seek Him. He wants to be a part of what we're doing and what we're going through. We're not alone in this. But I've got to allow Him in. I need to swallow my pride and realize there's somebody that can take care of me better than I can take care of myself. It's somebody who can minister to me better than I can minister to myself. Because don't kid themselves. We try to minister to ourselves when we try to do things our way to take care of ourselves instead of ask the Holy Spirit. He's right there willing to give you an answer, looking to love on you, to work with you. Third point, love or value what He loves, to love what the Father loves. See, look into the family business. Let the Father help you to be a good son or daughter. Let mom and dad help out every now and then. And here, through that, learn what mom and dad, or Lord, what our Papa in heaven, Heavenly Father, loves. And value those things. Because those are tried and true things. You know, used to be somebody who's of the older generation, you would sit by and you'd listen to because of their life experience. Unfortunately, modern generations don't respect that anymore like we once did. But there was wisdom in that knowledge. Now we say, "You're too stupid to tell me anything." And we lack the value. We lack valuing the things that they value. And same thing, if we don't spend time with our Heavenly Father, we're not going to know what He values and loves. John 14, 23 and 24 says this, Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, you will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." When we are in tune with Him, we value His heart. Our desire is to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. To think the way Christ thinks and to love the way God loves. The way our dad loves every single one of His children. Love as the Father loves. That's how we learn to value. A son working in his father's business or a daughter working in her father's or mother's business, how do they keep it going when it's turned over to them? They have to maintain the same values that started the business. Any successful business that has been passed on from generation to generation, how do they last? Because their principles and values are congruent to how they started. Our Heavenly Father's business, if that's going to last, we have to value what He values. He's given us a vision as a church. How do we make this church last and grow and become a vital kingdom element in this community? We value what He values. We live those values. We breathe those values. We speak those values, these things that He loves. What do we know He loves? He loves people, for God so loved the world. So we need to first love the world the way He loves. Love Him, and through that, love the world. And then we go from there. Fourth thing, stay teachable. Let's look at John 14, 25 to 16. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Whose job is it to teach us? Holy Spirit. Whose job is it to learn from the Holy Spirit? Whose job is it to learn? Us, thank you. Everyone awake? It's us. It's our job to learn. It's our job to position ourselves to receive what is being poured out. We talk about this all the time. Jesus, the Spirit that was in Jesus, that raised Him from the dead, lives in us. Okay? That same Spirit that allowed Him to learn from the heart of the Father is alive in us today to be able to learn from the heart of the Father, to stay teachable. And part of learning is taking what we learn and using it. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is wisdom is knowledge applied. I can know a whole lot of things, and I probably know a whole lot of useless things. But what can make me wise is the things that I know I'm able to utilize for the glory of God the way He's called me to. That's the wise that are described in the Scripture, in God's eyes. The one who's wise is the one who's taught the principles, the precepts, who's moving by the Spirit of God in the things of God. And applying them, using them in everyday life. Lord is teaching me when I go to work every day, I'm going to claim that ground as holy. Why? How can I do that? How dare I do that? Simple. Where the presence of the Lord is, it is holy. That's His word, right? So if I'm carrying His presence into that place, what does that mean? Well, for that to happen, I need to carry His presence, and I need to declare His presence in this place. So I am declaring that where the presence of the Lord is, it is holy. And Lord, Your presence lives in me because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. So guess where the Holy Spirit is going to be and what's going to be declared holy? And we're going to come against those other things. We carry that. When the Holy Spirit moves and brings a revelation, He does not bring a revelation just so we can say, oh, that's cool. He gives us a revelation of something so we can act upon it to bring glory to the kingdom, just like with the testimonies, and to break walls down, to tear down strongholds. He gives us those revelations so His truth would be revealed, not to be harbored. His truth be applied. His love be manifested, not be kept in a closet. They're meant to be useful things. We are to be teachable. Position ourselves to receive so we can pour out. That's what our job is. In 1 Peter 5, this is not going to be up there. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. A humble person is a teachable person. Guess what? In due time, when we stay teachable and letting him work, we are exalted before God. He will exalt us. He will lift us up above all these things. Stay submissive to him. Number five, kind of goes along with number four, but use what you are given. Joshua 14, 27 to 28, John 14, 27 to 28 says, peace I leave for you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I've shared this many times and I keep sharing it because it still to this day blows my mind. Whenever I think of peace, the image I get is Jesus carrying the cross to the Mount of Skulls, Golgotha. Because I just think, how in the world was he able to carry that cross, knowing who he was? The Son of God. That at a drop, he can call a legion of angels. How could he put up with so much garbage from people? People who the week before were saying, we love you. Yet he's carrying that cross and he's hurt. He's physically beaten. He's exhausted. But he's walking in peace. He's operating from that place of rest. And that's what he left us. And that peace allowed him to say with his last breath, forgive them for they know not what they do. Let my grace cover them. Use what we are given. Use what we are taught. My mom was the greatest cook, in my opinion, that I've ever known. I did not appreciate it when I was with her. Now I miss her cooking. But you know what? Her legacy lives on. Because she was a great cook and a baker. The older of my two sisters got her cooking skills. The younger of my two sisters got her baking skills. So whenever I visit my family and my sisters, one does the cooking, the other does the baking, it's like my mom is still there. They use what was passed down to continue the legacy that my mom left. Jesus, who walked in that peace that came from the heart of the Father, passed down that legacy of his peace so that we can carry it on and use it. He didn't say, I'm just going to give you some peace so you can lay on your couch and relax. He said, I'm giving you this measure of peace so that you can walk through fire and not be shaken. So when turmoil surrounds you, when everyone else is running without a head and stressed out, you're going to operate from a place of rest. And you're going to love the way I love. You're not going to react, but you're going to act with authority and with power. You're going to act with boldness. Use what I've given you. Use what is passed down, what we are given. He's given us his Holy Spirit, who has his gifts. all the prophetic, the healing, the supernatural faith, and more. He's given us his fruit to use his gifts with, because fruit and the gifts go hand in hand. Use them. And they're not just meant to be used in the four walls of a church. They're meant to be used in life. The skills that are passed down, use them. Be willing to learn new things. And the new things you are learning, use them. Take a risk. Let me tell you, just to go back to what I shared earlier, when I called out last week the joy thing and nobody raised their hand with it, you know? I had to reach a point, not last week, but early on when the Lord began to move through me and with a lot of us this way, that I have to be comfortable if nobody responds, because I have to be comfortable in being obedient. And being obedient takes risk, putting yourself out there. When God speaks and declares and says, I want you to do this, I can't worry about what the response is going to be. All I need to worry is that I'm doing what he's told me to do. I'm using what he's given me to use. And you know what? Now I know what they mean when you get to a point where just you're too old to care what people think. You're just going to do it and be obedient and, you know, just let God do the rest. It's not my job to make anyone do something they're not ready to do, but it is our job to use and take a risk with what God has given us. Put ourselves out there, because God will bless your risk. You think Gideon took a risk when God said, oh, you're going to defeat these thousands of soldiers by smashing clay pots and run and yelling? You think David took a risk when he went up against Goliath? I mean, I'm using stories we're familiar with, but there's a risk involved. But with risk, there's a great guarantee of reward when we do it in faith. It's not a shot in the dark when it's in faith. It's an act, a deliberate act of faith. Let faith grow in the authority and power of the Father in the Son. Let his faith continue to grow in our authority, in our power that we are given from him. And we learn by doing, even if we make a mistake every now and then, but we learn by practice, by trial and error. Sometimes you have to hit wrong notes on an instrument before you learn what the right notes are. To gauge and measure, is this the right note or how close am I to the right note? And you know what? It's okay when the purpose behind it is an act of faith. It's okay. Why? Because the Father's right there to pick up the child. Because our Father's right there with his grace to cover us. Number 6, stay connected. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean house. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and that shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Stay close to the Father's heart. How many times does he say, abide in me and I abide in you? Usually when the Bible says something once, yeah, we take it for what the power that's in it. Twice, three times, You know he's serious. He must have said it 5 or 6 times in those 8 verses. That if he doesn't show you how important this is. When we stay connected, the Son stayed connected to the Father. When we stay connected to the Father's heart through the Spirit and through the grace of the Son, we know the Father's heart because we know the source of all things. And when he says at the end that if you abide in me and my words, whatever you ask, what you desire, and it'll be done for you, that goes hand in hand with Psalms that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will show you, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The key is staying connected to the heart of God and having his heart in me. Because when his heart's in me, what I desire, what I declare, what I pray for, what I long for, becomes the things that God likes, what he values. Go back to step 2 or 3, whatever that was. Value, love, what God loves, what the Father loves. Maintain those values. Jesus was never apart. He never went away, strayed away from the heart of God and the purpose of God. And he fulfilled his destiny. Every one of us has that same destiny. And if we stay connected to the vine, to the branches, to the root, to the source, to the heart of God, and we can go into a full sermon just on this, we will have everything we need to continue the legacy of the family business, of the kingdom family business. Because he is our source. He is our source. And from that source, we have everything we need. We have everything we need so that the child will maintain the legacy of the Father the way it's meant to be. And lastly, stay true to the family values. Listen to what Jesus, how he concludes this. John 15, 18 to 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me. They'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do for you, to you, for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Stay true to the family values. We're not going to be liked. We're going against the trend of our modern culture right now. Okay? The values of what's outside these doors are completely different than the values of the heart of God. And we have, everyone is going to come up with the next great thing, the next great idea, the way things should be done. They're going to come against the things of God. How many people in churches, oh, we love Lord, love you, Lord. We want more of you. We want you to come and heal the sick and do this. And then when God shows up, oh no, a little scary here, Lord. Not sure I can get behind this. I better go somewhere else. Even in the book of Acts, always go back to this, when his Spirit was moving in the apostles and moving mightily and people were being overwhelmed by his presence, a bunch of people said, this is great for you, apostles, but I think we'll just stay back here. You can read that in, I think, Acts 3 or 4. You know, Holy Spirit's great for you, but we'll just keep a distance. They didn't connect fully with the values of God's heart. About a year and a half ago, we had Paul Martini come, for those that were around, and he did a conference for us. Now, we're a small church, 50, 60 people, holding our very first, like, real conference. Did you know people went on the internet and were telling people not to come to our own conference, to this conference here, because of who we're bringing in? Because he's a very spirit-filled, equipping, and healing person. All of a sudden, this little church in Keyport became an issue to many people, trying to turn people away from coming to our conference. They even posted on our own Facebook page that I had to delete, which blew my mind. It's like, how in the world did we become that much of a target? But you know what? I praise God, because that means God's working and the enemy's not happy. So we give God glory for that. But when you're doing things God's way and everyone else wants things done the other way, they're going to come against you. Expect it. For you guys who are younger, you have your peer pressure at school. When you decide to abstain, you know, from premarital sex that everyone else is doing, or the drugs, or the alcohol, when you decide not to engage in gossip, when you decide not to take part in backbiting and those kind of things, or when you simply say, I'm not doing this because I need to spend time with family, or I need to spend time with my church family, I need to read my Bible, I need to pray, I need to study, I just need to spend time with the Lord. They're not going to be happy about this. And we will get ridiculed. But that's okay. Because I can guarantee you, if you ask Bill Gates or any multi-million dollar CEO, he will tell you he had people against him. But who's getting the last laugh? What did God say? Humble yourself before me, and in due time I will lift you up. I will raise you up. Stay true to the family values when we are attacked. We have a specific vision as a church. God may have given you a specific vision for your life. Stay true to that. Don't let opinions, popular opinion, sway you. Stay connected to the vine and to the branches, because then you will have the strength, the nurturing waters, to be able to stay strong and stay connected. I mean, all these seven things go hand in hand. But that's why I said these are just observations of how Jesus was. He stayed close to the heart of God. And if we stay close to the heart of God, we can't go wrong. God will honor us when we honor Him. God will bless our lives when we bless Him. God will raise us up when we humble ourselves before Him and raise Him up in our life first. Doesn't matter how old or young you may be. This is His word, and He is true to who He is. He doesn't change. It doesn't change at all. I'll close with this last real quick testimony. You know, Anne Marie and Roberta and Sue might kind of know this. You know, almost 20 years ago, when I went through my worst time in my life, I was told I was never going to see my son again, who at that time was 5 years old. And I had to take actions, and as prayed and sought the Lord for these things, Lord showed me a course of action to take that I needed to stay strong in. Everybody outside of my church family disagreed with the choice I made. Everybody I knew outside of my church family that I was connected to disagreed. Felt that's not the way it works. It's not how you're supposed to do it. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to make this concession. And I'm sparing you the details. But everyone and their mother outside of this church said what I was doing was wrong and I would never see my son again. Yet in my heart, I knew what God was saying to me, and I surrounded myself, stayed connected to my church family. And he kept telling me, you're doing the right thing. God honored it, because not only did I get him back in my life, I got him back with authority so that he couldn't be taken again from me. Lord is faithful. Doing it his way. He is faithful. Would you stand with me right now? Just get into that place. Position your heart right now to just receive from him. Holy Spirit, you've been stirring within us all morning. We thank you for your revelations today. We thank you for the new things that you are doing today. We bless them in your name. We thank you for the hope that is rising. Because I feel like today some of you are having their hope being restored and rising right now. So let that hope arise, God. Also feel like Holy Spirit has kind of given, if not everyone, a lot of people here, specific things they're meant to do, whether it's within them to declare, to pray on, to stand on. But it's very, very specific. I want you to know, when you take that step of faith, he's going to be faithful to work in it. Don't deny it, whatever it might be. In a moment, we're going to break up into our prayer groups, but right now, just receive from the Holy Spirit a little bit and do the work that you need to do with him right now, just for a few minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just release a deeper measure of hope within you. Just release intense love from the heart of the Father right now within you. Thank you, Lord. Waiting on the Holy Spirit's release right now. I feel like he's still working. I feel like somebody has a prophetic word specifically to encourage and edify the body right now. God just gave you a word, downloaded a word. that's you, would you raise your hand? And I'll come to you, and if you would share it. Bold. Give you a few more seconds. Please, if that's you, let God work. All right. Would you just get together with two or three others? And just pray, lift one another up on these things that we've talked about today that the Holy Spirit revealed to you. Encourage one another right now in prayer. Chrissy, can you get behind the keyboard, please? Just get up and get together with your prayer groups right now. And then you are dismissed after you spend some time in praying together. Would you rise up?